This is North Sound One Friday Sports.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. Bring everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, two from two in the cups, and it just keeps on getting better for Dons fans, unless there's a banana skin ahead in the form of St Mirren and Paisley tomorrow afternoon. We're with the boss and the team directly ahead. Also tonight, a full preview of the rest of the Scottish Premiership, Peterhead in League 2, the Highland League and beyond, as well as rugby, a catch-up with the Winter Olympics and more before Romeo on the in-demand top 30 from 7. Stay with us.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
But first, as always, to Pittodrie, where there's a bounce in the city and shire beyond the stadium. But Derek McInnes, as you'd imagine, fully focused on the next game ahead.
It's important that we just concentrate on the job in hand. We don't look too far ahead of ourselves. I think the players are just desperate to play their part anyway and itching to be involved. There's been some decent performances of late. I think over the last 2 or 3 months especially, there's been a real consistency there. So it'll need something again over the next 2.5 months or so to try and help us achieve what we want to achieve. The last time we went down to St Mirren Park, it was something similar. We were getting it in good form. We were doing really well in the league and cups, and obviously St Mirren were at times struggling for a result. And I thought they were very good on the night, that night, and we were fortunate to get a draw. I thought we were deserving a draw, but it came late, and I think St Mirren played very well that night, and that result I think helped them in their quest to get results and get consistency. They went on a decent run after that, so we know what St Mirren are capable of. St Mirren are a good side, some good players. They like to try and play football, and they're always trying to get their better players to express themselves, and it tends to be quite an open game against them, which is obviously something we're looking forward to ourselves. I thought the game here at Pittodrie in December was a game that was a bit more one-sided, if truth be told. I thought we were the far better side, but well aware of St Mirren's strengths, and they've got some good players that we need to try and limit their contribution to the game.
You're on North Sound One's Friday Sport. Joining me as always, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway. Obviously, a full preview of that St Mirren game in just a moment. I know Derek is now blinkered to the task in hand and playing down last week in case the players lose their concentration ahead of that piece of the showdown, but we don't have to be. So look back over last weekend in the Cup, and the real highlights and talking points for you, Dave McDermott, who I have to acknowledge said all along, if we get through the first semi-final, we'd go on to win the game against Celtic. It's only been 30 or so years, Dave, but you've got one right. It must feel good.
Now, I could, of course, be very picky and mention the game 3-1 against Dundee United, 4-0 against Inverness, and other countless games that I've got
within
correct.
The 30 years, that's
within
four.
Within the 30
right.
years, yeah. Yeah, I did get it right, and it was fantastic. And as been said, whilst Derek is quite rightly keeping it down to one game at a time, for the fans, it's just one feel-good day after another. And Saturday, the bounce that the 3,000-odd fans made at Celtic Park was absolutely brilliant. And they outplayed Celtic for most of that game. Going a goal down early on, you
feared the worst, didn't you?
You did. But when Russell scored the equaliser, and it was...
Well,
such
taken.
A spectacular equaliser for a man of his age.
Magnificent.
put his pipe down and went up. Yeah,
in fairness, for a defender as well.
Yeah, it was well taken. Yeah. And then the second half, we controlled the game, and it was 2-1, but if any team was going to score again, it was ourselves. So, really good. And, yes, that's now to the back of the back of the minds of the manager and the players, but I would suggest that they probably don't... read any of the press, because it's not stopping everybody else quite rightly getting really up Willie this week describing Anderson and Reynolds as the
new
best since Miller and McLeish.
Yeah.
High praise indeed.
It certainly is. In fact, Derek, was it Tuesday morning, Derek said, anything in the papers? I said, well, Anderson and Reynolds are the new Miller and McLeish. He says, I'd prefer the Miller and McLeish now to that too. I think he was joking.
Nice. I loved Barry Robson's comment on Red TV when he was describing Russell Anderson's goal. He said he must have dislocated his hip. A bit cruel, but quite funny.
Cracking second goal from Peter Pollock with a great through ball from the footballing brain of Barry Robson, which brings us on to the subject of the weekly poll, which you'll find online via aberdeenmad.co.uk. The poll says there, should Peter Pollock get a Scotland call-up from Strachan for the Poland friendly next month? That should Peter Pollock get a call-up from Gordon Strachan for the Poland friendly next month? Before I check in with your thoughts, let me put that one to you guys in the studio. Peter Pollock with a Scotland call-up for a friendly, Dave?
Oh, he's definitely done more than enough, I would suggest, to earn a call-up.
Yeah, absolutely outstanding. And, you know, the tidal wave of opinion. Can I reveal the poll results?
Please do.
It's one of the most overwhelming that I've seen for quite some time. Yes, 90.7%. No, 9.3%. Who was that 9.3%?
Well, probably the manager, because he doesn't want him to get injured playing for Scotland.
I can give you an insight to that, because in some of the additional comments, Cove Creep adds, it's a no from me, he's rubbish. No way does he deserve the same kind of honour as Paul Devlin or Gary Kenneth. Tenerife,
tongue-in-cheek,
Tenerife Red, he should get a call-up, but I'd rather he didn't for purely selfish reasons of staying injury-free for playing for us. Exterminator 75, get the loon capped. The fact that he's English-born should earn bonus points to McGee. Agent Cooper, on current form, he's easily the match of the likes of Anya or Maloney, well worth a cap. In Ludo Veritas, he should, and I hope he does, should certainly add to his confidence, and the extra experience should also help. As mentioned, then seeing Aberdeen as a route into the Scotland team can't hurt when we're trying to recruit or keep players either. Or if you just want to look at it in mercenary terms, then international caps, I assume, still give a boost to any potential transfer fee. And personally, I'd like to see some Aberdeen players in the Scotland side. Finally, for now, Scobie McDee. I always thought Peepaw was English anyway. I go to some Scotland games. I'd love to see him play at Hampden representing his country. If anything, I go more to more Scotland games if more Reds were playing. If you'd like to get involved, then do. Our topics and polls are online from around midweek onwards in any given week. You'll find them at Aberdeen Mad. And then here's some of your chat on the show at the weekend right here on North to One's Friday Sport. A lot's been made of the fact Celtic were up to scratch in that game last weekend, which makes the game, particularly on the 25th of February, all the more interesting. But I think there's fair comment there. They weren't at their best, were they? How much of that was to do with us restricting them?
I think quite a large percentage of was down to us. You know, and if they weren't at the best, if they weren't up for the game, you've got to question why weren't they up for the game? It was a huge game for them. The net result, and we don't want to be spending too long talking about Celtic, but the net result is that's their season finished. They're going to really struggle to get, and they've already started the campaign to try, you know, make yourself legends. Yeah. I'm afraid the vast majority of the Parkhead faithful are you know, the league's won as far as they're concerned. That's it. It's all looking ahead to the qualifiers next summer.
You have to laugh when you hear this nonsense about best fans in the world. Oh, really?
It must be. I mean, it is ridiculous, though, isn't it? They won the league at a canter, and, you know, you've got to win all three at least to get pass marks if you're Neil Lennon.
But I think also if you do look at his cup record, you know, it's not great, and not to get to the quarterfinals of either domestic competition is, you know, given where their supposed rivals are right now, that's not a great report card.
Yeah, and he's only got one more chance to win the treble, hasn't he? That'll be next season.
Only the second game at the club for our latest Lone Star, Shea Logan, who I said last week I thought was great going forward, but I wasn't so sure defensively. Do you think it's just a case of betting in, and how do you think he's doing so far, Dave Galloway?
I think he's doing very well. You know, he had one or two shaky moments at Tynecastle, but I think he settled in very well, and he went on to a good, strong game. He looked very calm and assured at Celtic Park. You know, it was like he'd been a regular fixture in the side. He looked very mature and confident.
Well, ahead of that, simmering game, taking stock of the 180 minutes he's played so far, Shea Logan's been speaking to North of One's Friday Sport.
It's been a good start. I couldn't imagine it, but, you know, it's been a really good start to the two games. You know, two wins, cup final reached, and knocking Celtic out of the cup is a very good way to start the, you know, my Aberdeen career. So, yeah, I'm very happy at this point in time. I'd say I'd be surprised. I've been surprised with what I've seen so far, and it's been a good surprise, to be honest. Playing with the boys in training and stuff like that, the results that we've got, I could see why they've got them. In the position I was in, you know, I started at Brentford this season, and I played the first 10 to 15 games. And then it was a spell where I wasn't playing, and then I started to play again. And then I was virtually told that, you know, my time was going to be limited playing there. So I spoke with the manager, and for the position I was in, I felt like it's best to, you know, I needed to be playing football. You know, being out of contract in the end of the summer, I needed to put myself in the best position to get myself the right move for me. So then I spoke to Derek McGuinness and my agent, and definitely thought this was the best place to come with the position that the club was in.
Shea Logan chatting to Northern One's Friday Sport. Will he make the team tomorrow in the eyes of our selectors? The two Daves will tell you shortly. And we hear from Aberdeen's Niall McGinn. There's more of your chat in this week's topic. The view of St Mirren boss Danny Lennon ahead of that lunchtime showdown at Paisley tomorrow coming up as well. Right here, just ahead on Friday Sport from Northern One.
Northern One, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
It's St Mirren versus Aberdeen tomorrow afternoon in the televised lunchtime kickoff at St Danny Lennon, using the Dons as a reference point for his own players.
Aberdeen, they're very, very difficult to break down. They've got good organisation, out of possession, and that's what we've got to get back to. And when we bring our utmost total focus and concentration and follow the game plan out, we're equally as successful as that. What we'll have to do is get back to that very, very quickly.
Next to the man we needed to play well if we were to win at all last season. The goals seemed to depend entirely upon him. Not quite the same reliance this year, but an important part of the team as always nonetheless. Chatting here to Red TV's Mal Panton for Northern One's Friday Sport, Aberdeen's Niall McGinn.
It's been definitely probably up there, one of the best weeks of my career so far. We're in the cup final and now we're still in the Scottish Cup. So a lot of people said it's probably make or break for the season. And thankfully we've come out strong, and we know ourselves, we're definitely not haven't got the job fully done yet. We know there's still a lot of football we play, but our main priority is back to league action now, and the cup competition will obviously they'll take care of themselves. So it's games we're looking forward to, but we've got to make sure and concentrate in the league now and just keep plugging away, and hopefully just keep picking up the points, and hopefully that can be good enough to get in that second spot for us ourselves.
As you say, it was very much a defining week, you know, how the season was going to pan out. The confidence the guys must have now, you know, from two fantastic results would be absolutely massive, and you take that into the league for them.
Yeah, definitely. We're obviously in a good place at the moment. The boys are on a high, the boys are playing well. We've definitely got a good team spirit, and a lot of credit has to go for the manager and Tony Dock. With training wise, everything's just been so positive, and it's been very, very good. And he's just his confidence is just brought down on the players, and the players have shown that week in, week out. And the good thing about the team at the moment, we've got that group of players with both experience, youth, obviously talent, things as well, and everyone's sort of gelling together. And yeah, we're definitely in a good place at the moment, and hopefully that might continue.
Niall, incidentally, just one of the players involved with the subject of our weekly topic, which we'll take a look at and then let you know how you can get involved yourself, if not already. On Aberdeen Mad, written like this by 2Stars83, written the day after the Cup semi-final, just happened to be next to Mez at Tynecastle yesterday. 2-0 up, he said, "So, we did another display again. The plans are already afoot to create the biggest and best display for our long-awaited return to a national final, open brackets, wherever we may be." Like I said, written the day after the Cup semi-final. "Once again, this will be created and funded exclusively by Dons fans. We can only do it through donations from our fellow fans," which I actually think is a good thing. "All donations, large and small, could be made via PayPal to Red Army Display Fund at hotmail.com. Red Army Display Fund at hotmail.com. Don't worry if you didn't get it there. I will mention it a few more times across the show. Come on, you Reds." Dave's got the reaction to that one as it continues.
DJR 1979 asks, should it be a banner for Russell or the whole of AAFC? He's been a large part of the club for a good few years and really deserves his day out as captain. Old enough to remember says, keep the display simple, I say. Something on Armageddon, maybe? SM's W counters, I certainly hope not. This is about us and no one else.
Exactly.
From footnote, nothing political or conspirational, please. We're not
conspiratorial.
Conspiratorial, please.
That as well.
Conspirational.
Inspirational.
Yeah, I've just invented a new word. We're not Celtic or Newco, which is another new word as well. It's all about winning that cup and nothing else. From Aliel, spell out Aberdeen in the stands and a giant banner at the front saying legendary status awaits you. Come on, you Reds. Legends for winning the League Cup, asks Eldorado 9193. Back to Aliel. For a generation of our fans, this could be the first trophy they see us winning. Maybe for the older generations, the League Cup doesn't mean as much. From Eurovirgin, we could be do a massive red and white stripe one, then a trophy pops out of the middle with confetti coming from the top tier. Sounds like more choreographed than the...
Sounds good.
Strictly.
I like that.
And then at the end, a bus that can just start driving up the United Indeed. With the players
from,
at top.
From Kenzie 316, massive silhouettes of Willie. It says God, but I think it's Willie. It means from the waist up, holding aloft the cup. Black definition, especially the tash. It's Willie. Shiny silver poly for the cup with two or three fans holding sticks beside the cup with massive red and white ribbons flowing from it. Extra special if the sun shines on the cup as well. Back to Two Stars 83. Also, we'll have a few items to auction, with every penny going straight into the fund. The first item's just been confirmed. Johnny Hayes has very generously offered his cup final shirt to help bump up the total. Massive respect for him and thanks. From Person 2, just an idea of mine, and it might save a bit of money. Surfer of the Aberdeen skyline. Leave one block either side of the surfer free. See below. Flank, well, we can't. Flank with poly bags. Red and white scheme, although the Kelvalite suggested could work well. Message banner underneath, either one, it's not that grim up north, or two, Godspeed the day. There's some very complicated ideas coming out. From Mez 1999.
I'm glad we did this.
Yeah, well done. Well done, Mr. Nipples, who donated £500 today. Truly fantastic donation to go with your name.
Oh.
And with Dolly organising an auction of various items, including the cup final shirt, we should start to get the funds up. Some great ideas. But Pitch Mick 2013, unfortunately, the word legend has been adopted by people who should know better and is now very little going for it. I'd advise against using it personally. From Caddy Car Handle. Well, how's about a massive McInnes, you utter classic. From Panda, it won't make the team legends, but some could become legends. Russell Anderson is a cup-winning captain to cement his legacy. If Niall McGinn scores the winner, surely he becomes a legend. Paul Mason, cup-tie Mackay, Brian Irvine, Duncan Shearer, would they be legends without winning trophies and doing something of significance in a final? From Paralysed Sheep, 83, sorry, I made a suggestion this morning. What about if folk who drink in the bars near Pittodrie take collection buckets in with them pre the Celtic game on the 25th of February? So it all seems to be going well, but there was quite a few of these, probably better visually rather than on the radio.
Well, yeah, and if you remember that display, there were red and white cards around.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think it's going to be quite as animated as perhaps they're thinking.
Yeah, well, I think some of these displays, you need planning permission, I think.
Erection of scaffolding.
Exactly.
Further to that, I got an update from Dolly Digital earlier, who says, hi, John, donations coming in from everywhere, from £3 to £500. All are appreciated. Design has been confirmed but will remain secret. You could say you could record it be red and white if you like. Yeah, okay, fair enough. I think we got that one established. Jimmy's semi-final gloves sold for £460. Niall's quarter-final jersey sold for £440. Hayes' cup final shirt to be auctioned next week. Expect that to sell well. Well, I would think so. Every penny raised will be going to materials. Mine and others organising, doing it for free. We could do with a shout for helpers the day before the game, though, because obviously whatever they do put together for this display will take some organisation and a few people in there to get it done. You can get in touch via my Twitter for this, which is @DonsFansDisplay, or the thread on Aberdeen Mad, which you can find as well. Obviously, the best way to donate is Red Army Display Fund at hotmail.com. Red Army Display Fund at hotmail.com. We're all blown away by fans and players coming together for this. It is great, and long may that bond continue. Once again, if you'd like to help donate to the display for the cup final, the address is Red Army Display Fund at hotmail.com. And to volunteer, we're putting the display in place the day before the final on Twitter at Don's Fans Display to get involved. I can't say for definite, but I suspect the team will that are there for the display will most likely find a tavern serving liquid refreshments on Cup Final Eve. Back with the league game tomorrow, though. It's predicted Eric time. These are the 11 men that you think will start for the Dons against St Mirren tomorrow afternoon. Dave the Elder, Dave McDermott, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm going for an unchanged lineup, which means it'll be Langfield, Logan, Anderson, Reynolds, Considine, Pollitt, Flood, Robson, Hayes, McGinn and Rooney.
And Dave Galloway.
That's exactly what I've got.
Wow. why change it? You know, if it
ain't broke, don't fix it. Exactly.
The one to watch, the man who'll potentially make the difference to the result for the Dons. Dave Galloway first this time. Your one to watch.
For me, Peter Pollitt, the man of the moment, certainly a very strong contender for man of the season. Just what a huge, huge improvement by Peepaw, as he's known affectionately by some, this season. And I take him to continue the good work.
And Dave McDermott.
I'm going to go for Adam Rooney. He was disappointed not to have made
gutted,
it 3-3.
He was gutted,
as the manager said at press yesterday, that's always, he likes that in a striker, that you know, he's delighted for the team, but frustrated that he feels he should have scored that one late on, which wasn't the easiest chance in the world, to be honest. But so I'm going for Adam Rooney to put that right tomorrow.
And a scoreline finally for the match, Mirren versus Aberdeen.
I am going to go for St Mirren 0, Aberdeen 2.
Yeah, that's exactly. Oh. We're
great.
Really boring.
Unbelievably. Yeah, full house. I'm going for a 2-0 as well.
Oh, no.
And so the other matches in the Scottish Premiership in just a moment.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmore, and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sports.
6:33 right now. We were discussing earlier the prospect of Peter Pollitt getting a call-up for the friendly against Poland. Actually, I think the prospect is probably pretty slim, to be honest. Whether he deserves it or not is another question. And there is a terrace chant which is springing up regarding Peter Pollitt, which you might have heard if you've been at any of the games. It's to the Human League's Don't You Want Me, Baby. It goes Peter Pollitt, baby. Well, you'll hear more in a second. Frank's in Strickland. Hi, Frank.
Hi there.
Now, Frank, you reckon... Because we've got a chorus, we deserve a verse.
I think that's right. I think he's that good, he deserves a verse.
Right, and have you come up with anything, Frank?
I've got one for you.
Right, okay. Let me just turn you up a little bit so we can get this. Right, carry on.
Okay, so he's been playing down Pittodrie for the Dandy Dons. That much is true. He wears the shirt, he scores the goals, he loves the club. We love him too. Peter Pollitt, baby! Peter Pollitt, whoa! Peter Pollitt, baby! Peter Pollitt, whoa!
We'll be in touch, Frank. Thanks, mate. I think it's a work in progress. What we'll probably do is maybe write a verse every week in the run-up to the cup final. What do you think?
That sounds good to me.
Nice one, Frank.
Thanks, Frank. 12-inch version.
Yes.
A remix.
We'll get Calvin Harris to remix it.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
Cheers, Frank.
Have a good
weekend.
6:35.
Brilliant.
Things you didn't expect when you came on air for Friday's
Sport at
6 o'clock. Absolutely. To the other matches in the Scottish Premiership, Dundee United welcome Kilmarnock to Tannadice with talk of the goal threat of Chris Broy once again, which comes as no surprise to United coach Darren Jackson.
I was down in the summer and Boyd is down doing his coaching badges, and I don't know if maybe that's gave him a wee incentive as well, that he sees the other side of it and thinks, well, I like that, but I want to keep playing as long as I can. And he's a fantastic goal scorer, and he's shown that throughout his career.
And with the additional attention he's been receiving, will Chris Boyd stay at Kilmarnock?
I've always said that if you're scoring goals, you're going to attract attention from other clubs. For me, I've just said there again that it'd be pretty stupid for me to stand here and say that, you know, I'm going to be a Kilmarnock player for the rest of my days, because at the end of the day, you just never know.
Knows the value of a pound. Dundee United versus Kilmarnock, Dave.
I think United will just be too strong for Killy, perhaps say 3-1.
Hibs have definitely hit the thud after the new manager bounced going out of the Scottish Cup last weekend to Raith Rovers. Manager Terry Butcher regrouping his men ahead of tomorrow's tie against Ross County.
Sometimes you say, well, that's our lowest point, you know. Let's make sure now everything is onwards and upwards. And I think, you know, we had a slap in the face against St Mirren. Obviously, we were playing Celtic, which we did quite well in the game against Celtic, so that was pleasing. And then for the performance we had against Raith Rovers, you know, you wonder where that came from, but it's gone. You can't change it. But what we have to do now is, you know, like I say, move forward.
Derek Adams knows 3 points would put his team right back in amongst the chasing pack.
A massive result for us if we could get that win and put us in a good position, and there'd be a cluster of teams in and around each other. Raith Rovers played well. You know, Hibernian had their chances as well. Terry's obviously gone in and changed his squad about.
Hibs against Ross County, Dave Galloway.
Hibs to win 2-1. I think that Terry Butcher will have booted a good few backsides through this week.
I imagine so. In the Highlands, John Hughes making similar noises to Derek McInnes with regard to the Cup final on March 16th.
The last three and a half, four months to go. We've put everything so much into the season so far. We've had a taste of the Cup. We're in the Cup final. That's now put that to bed. That'll take care of itself. I'd like to think that we've got aspirations to finish as high up that league as we can.
The Highlanders tomorrow facing a now desperate Hearts side beaten by Inverness in that League Cup semi-final, and whose manager Gary Locke is fully aware time is not on his side so far as the possibility of league survival is concerned.
It's another tough game, you know, it's a difficult place to go again, tough game, but you know, it's a game that we're looking forward to. You know, we have got sort of injury problems, and you know, we've got Kevin and Callum suspended, but you know, hopefully we can go up here and get 3 points, because you know, we're getting to the stage now where, you know, games are running out.
Three and a half months, and 3 points is what they're after. Yes. How's it going to go? Inverness versus Hearts, Dave.
It's a difficult one. I mean, Hearts will be desperate to avenge throwing away that.
I think they'll get a result somewhere.
I think it might be a share. It's a cause situation again. I'm going to go for 2-2.
Motherwell will be looking to keep hot on the heels of Aberdeen, perhaps even leapfrog them given the result of that lunchtime game tomorrow. Jim McCall's men at home to Partick Thistle. How's that going to go? Motherwell versus Partick, Dave Galloway.
That's a very interesting one. Partick Thistle played a lot of good football this season without a cutting edge. I take Motherwell to win 2-0.
Celtic in a Sunday 12:45 kickoff take on St Johnstone manager Neil Lennon, now looking to get the league title wrapped up in double quick time and playing down any talk of a rejuvenated Aberdeen side possibly challenging for the title in the next campaign.
I mean, there's plenty of experience in the squad, but whether, you know, they can get another season out of some of those guys is remains to be seen. But they've certainly had a very good month, you know, in terms of the cup competitions. But the league table doesn't lie.
St Johnstone boss Tommy Wright, pragmatic.
Realistically, Celtic will dominate possession. You don't get many opportunities. You know, even the Aberdeen game last week, you know, Aberdeen didn't have even played very well. They didn't have that many. You know, Fraser Foster didn't have a lot of saves to make. So you've got to make use of all your opportunities, and set plays are a key part of the game.
Celtic versus St Johnstone, Dave.
I think St Johnstone will be up against it. I think Celtic will bounce back from last week and keep that unbeaten run going, which will come to an end a week on Tuesday, and I think it will be 2-0 to Celtic.
You're on North Sun's Friday Sport. We've got rugby, more football to come, some Winter Olympics news as well. But first to Scotland's League Two, Peterhead, an impressive 7 points clear of their nearest rivals. Tomorrow it face Clyde, who lie third on goal difference. Manager Jim McAnally looking to keep momentum going at Balmoor.
I think if you look at Clyde's best results, they all come away from home. They're a team that's set up to play away from home, really, because they're really well organised. They've got a player on their team that can throw the ball a mile, so if they've not got a corner, they've got a long throw, which is equivalent to a corner, and you're kind of always under pressure to a certain extent, so you've got to defend well and win your headers and, you know, win your battles. And if you can do that, then obviously, you know, we'll have a chance of winning the game. But you know that you've got to overcome all these things with Clyde, because they're a well-organised team, and it's not a fluke that they're still there at this stage of the season.
In the Highland League, Bucky Thistle on 8th spot, looking to close the gap when they visit 5th place Devon Vale tomorrow afternoon. Steve Patterson's from Martin United meet a Huntley team led by new manager Greg Carroll.
It's a big, big task. Huntley have been a team, for years they've been king, the top end of the leagues and things, but lately they've sort of slipped back. They've obviously had a wee bit of problem in the background as well, which they've sorted. And it's just the size of the job. It's a challenge for me again to get my teeth back into it. And I think it's, as I said, it's the challenge. It's the challenge that lays ahead.
Yeah, looking at the potential of Huntley, what do you think you can achieve at the club, and what are you looking to achieve?
Well, I'm neither one of these managers that turns around and says, "Oh, if we get top five." I think that's just nonsense. You've got to achieve which is the top end, which is obviously trying to win leagues and trophies. So you've got to say, yeah, you've got to try and do that. It might take a bit of time, but if you set your goals out of that side of things, then everybody's well aware of where you want to go, you know.
Elsewhere, Wick Academy also with a new manager in the form of Gordon Connolly, and his assistant Richard Hughes, named in the club website in brackets as Titchy, I think, unless it's a spelling error and it's supposed to be Richie. Titchy Richie, let's go with. They travel to Forest. Fort William are at home to Lossiemouth. Inverurie Locos at Harlow Park, they're hosting formidable leaders Brora, who smashed 9 past Keith last fixture. Keith hoping the only way is up when they travel to Cove. In the remaining games, it's Rothes against Clack, Strathspey Thistle at home to Fraserburgh, and second place Nairn County travel to meet Turriff United in the Juniors' Day.
Yeah, well, sadly, I'm sure there'll be pitch inspections just looking out the window and the rain bucketing down yet again. Surprise, surprise. In the PMAC Group Super League, unbeaten Cooter at home to Stonehaven. Maud travel to Bankery St Tiernan. It's Deveron's side against leaders Dice. FC Stonywood entertain Bank City. East End travel to Longside. That's the bottom two meeting there. New Elgin at home to Hall Russell United. In the First Division East, Bridge of Don Thistle host Buckenhaven Hearts. Fraserburgh United go to Colony Park. It's Parkvale versus Lewis United and Sunnybank at home to Glentanna in West. Dufftown entertain Inverness City. Faulkabers travel to Nairn St Ninian. Port Gordon Victoria against Burghead Thistle. White Hills versus Bucky Rovers. In the McBookie.com McLemmon Cup first round, Hermes are to have home advantage against Ellen United. In the Elginshire Refrigeration Cup at the quarterfinal stage, it's Forest Thistle against Isle of Vale, and the final match is in the opening stage of the MTM Morrison Cup, and it features Cruden Bay against Newmarket United.
This is North Someone's Friday Sports. Still to come ahead of the in-demand top 30 at 7 with Romeo. We chat rugby and English football, amongst other things. Plus, Winter Olympics update. Keep it North Someone's Friday Sport.
North Sun 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sports.
To England now, the fifth round of the FA Cup has thrown up two ties, which are repeats of recent Premier League fixtures involving the top four. Currently, there's Chelsea are at Manchester City and Arsenal host Liverpool. Colin Besley looks ahead for North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
There'll be an element of familiarity about Chelsea's visit to Manchester City in tomorrow's late game. The two Premier League title favourites met Eastlands at the beginning of the month, with Jose Mourinho's men coming away with a 1-0 win. But the Chelsea boss insists things are likely to be different this time.
If we start with the same team, which we don't, and if they start with the same thing, which I don't know they do or they don't, it's very difficult for a match to be the same.
And Arsenal will be keen to avenge their 5-1 defeat by Liverpool in the Premier League last Saturday. They go head-to-head again on Sunday. But after a goalless draw with Manchester United in midweek, the Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger is confident that won't happen again at the Emirates.
Our main frailty at Liverpool was that we conceded goal after goal in 20 minutes, and on Wednesday night, we came back to our usual defensive stability.
The fifth round kicks off tomorrow lunchtime with one of four all-Premier League ties when Southampton go to Sunderland. Elsewhere, two teams at the wrong end of the Championship meet when Sheffield Wednesday take on Charlton. Also at three, Cardiff have a rare home tie in the FA Cup. They host holders Wigan, having not played on their own ground in the competition for 3 years. Manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer says it's a great opportunity for a club like theirs to claim some silverware this season.
The league now, with the financial situation with the top clubs, you can see that split into two. So that is going to be one out of five, six to win the league. But FA Cup, to win a trophy, to have a day out at Wembley, that's up to anyone, and we're in with that chance.
Everton host Swansea in Sunday's lunchtime game, followed by Nottingham Forest trip to Aston Villa and Fulham's conqueror Sheffield United. The fifth round ties conclude on Monday night with Hull at Brighton.
Rugby, and in a break from the Six Nations action this weekend, thank goodness. I don't reckon I could take any more at this point. Aberdeen Grammar are back in the RBS Scottish Cup quarterfinal, away to Edinburgh Accies. It's a 2:30 kickoff, this one. So what has head coach Kevin Warner saying to his men ahead of that encounter?
Just enjoy yourselves, you know. The players are prepared physically, you know, maybe mentally. For a cup game, they know what they have to do. They have to take their chances, but really, to me, sport's about enjoyment and enjoy themselves and express themselves, really.
In the Winter Olympics, Team GB's big news today came as Lizzie Yarnold won her first gold medal of the Games after dominating the women's skeleton throughout, really. Yarnold turned a solid final run to finish 0.97 seconds ahead of Noel Pickus-Piss of the United States. Well done. Have you been watching the Winter Olympics, guys?
Yes, I have. Yeah, it's great. It's really good.
I never knew curling could be quite so interesting.
Well, you'll enjoy this when I share an office with Mal, but there's also Lisa and Alice and the guys in the office. We're trying to explain curling to them.
Right.
Oh my goodness!
Wow.
And then of course, so what?
Have you finished doing
it's
that?
It's quite
yet?
Similar to bowls. How do you play bowls? Oh. So it's.
Bowls
after about two, about 2 days of intense instruction, I think we've just about got there.
Mm. You should have said to the girls in the office, look, even your head wears makeup. You could wear makeup on the curling rink as well. Are you interested now? That's an in.
I could have, but I'm not that close to the door.
Right.
a fantastic win for Eve Muirhead's rink today, the second 12-3 victory of this tournament, beating Japan 12-3. So they're in with a right good shout of qualifying. It's the top four that go through in their joint third. And the men, they beat Denmark 8-6, having been 5-1 down at one stage. What a great recovery, beating Denmark 8-6 to go top of the table. So it's looking good.
Both starting to find their feet in the ice,
and
as
both
it were.
Both all Scottish rinks.
Yeah. But Team GB in this instance, yes. I have to stress. Now, something going back to the last time the Dons got into a final.
Well, no, last and, time.
We, sorry, we, no, not the last yeah, time we got, but the last time we won a final, indeed. 1995, which was then the Coca-Cola League Cup.
Or the Coca-Cola,
Coca-Cola
as
League
Roy
Cup.
Used to call it.
Roy can call it. Yeah. the thing with this was, I imagine that there was a sort of internal pressure amongst Coca-Cola's own PR where they felt, oh, we're a sugary drink, soft drink, and we need to look healthy in the eyes of anyone that's looking at this cup final. So for the man of the match, the reward at the time was?
Yeah, it became the most famous bike in the history of AFC, and that's
well,
not a cue for the jokes. So the most famous mountain bike in the history of AFC, Stephen Glass was awarded the infamous branded Coca-Cola bike in the rain at Hampden, and a Coca-Cola executive handing the bemused-looking Stephen this bicycle.
Well, he was probably thinking, how am I going to get that back up the road?
Indeed. Now, that bike has been kept in...
A shed.
Well, in good condition, in pristine condition, in Stephen's father-in-law's house in Montrose for the last 19 years. And I was speaking to Stephen, who now coaches in Arizona. I was speaking to him earlier this week.
And he said, Dave, can you cycle it out to me?
He is he is donating
no problem.
The bike for youth development at the club because he wants to put something back to... He came through the youth development system at Pittodrie. And so we're going to be launching a raffle. So, I mean, this is part of the club. So every time anybody of a certain age, you mention that the Coca-Cola Man of the Match prize, everybody means, oh, the bike.
Yeah.
Now, It's we're launching it on Monday, but you can have a sneak preview if you go on to the... Because we're doing it in conjunction with the Heritage Trust. So if you go on to afcheritage.org, on the homepage there is all the details. And you can actually... Tickets are £5 each through the Heritage Trust PayPal. So if you've got a credit card, you can put the £5. Everyone will be allocated a unique number, and then we'll do the draw 2 days before this League Cup final, and then if all goes well on 16th of March, we'll arrange for a nice presentation of the bike afterward. But it is a chance to win
in a back garden in Montrose.
No, it is a real chance to win.
Here's the address.
An important piece of AFC's recent heritage. Hence Brilliant. The association with the Heritage Trust.
Wow.
And I know a lot of people, myself included, who would be... I'm not sure so much about my wife, but I'd be desperate to get my hands on a piece of AFC
history. I'm certainly going to have a go at that. Yeah, so definitely. So we're allowed to enter, aren't we?
Of course we are. The more the better. And you can buy as many, £5 a ticket, and all money going back. Stephen, as I say, he just wants to put something back.
Well done, Stephen.
And his father-in-law, Jack, he was saying, I was speaking to
just
him as
wants
well.
Just wants a clear space in his shed.
Indeed, because it's only, he says he's only been out on it two or three times just to take it round the block.
Just to keep it running.
Keep it running and keeps it polished and
keep
stuff.
Keep it ticking over.
That's good.
Fantastic. So I'm sure there'll be a lot more coverage
well
of
done,
that.
Stephen.
Because it's surreal, shall we say, but a piece of AFC history nonetheless.
Absolutely. Now, briefly, so far as tennis is concerned, in Rotterdam, Andy Murray about to face Marin Cilic.
Yeah, in the quarterfinals, they're just starting in Rotterdam. He had a bit of a sort of stutter last night against the lad Tiemi in the last 16, Andy. But Cilic will be a bit of a test for him. Berdych went through earlier on today in three sets against Jankovic, the big Pole. And that was quite a difficult one as well. But I do expect Andy to come through against you. He's got a good record against Marin Cilic, who of course missed about 9 months because of the illegal substance that he allegedly took.
Right.
Allegedly.
We were doing so well, we got to 4 minutes within the end of the show before we had any legal aspect whatsoever.
I did use the word allegedly.
Allegedly, that's okay.
That covers everything.
Yep. As far as our weekend coverage is concerned.
Yeah, well, we've got, for the second week in a running, we've got a very early start leaving here at 7:30, and we'll bring you full coverage on Red TV of St Mirren against Aberdeen.